Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
You know what? Brad Pitt, you're a good actor. You're a movie star. You're more of a movie star than a great actor. And that's okay, because you're in really good movies and I enjoy them.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
And as long as that ends up being the case, hey, Bishop, I'm still on the radio.
No, it's all right. He can hang.
Paw Patrol.
I need another Paw Patrol.
Okay, I'm going to come turn it on in just a couple of moments, all right?
Big Ann Herron.
Mr. Herron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
With Bernstein and Holmes on the Score.
Yeah, I think we got to update that for this season, because now Bishop walks in. He's like, Dad, Paw Patrol, now. Okay, I'll put it right on. Anthony Herron is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals. Available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911.
Did you see this man on TV yesterday? Looking cleaner than the Board of Health? looking open casket like clean.
He always looks like that. Wow, I've never heard that phrase before.
How's it going?
Yeah, and also you can hear him with the post on the Score, and you get a chance to digest it. It's always nice when you do that shift and people are starting to kind of like take their breath a little bit and understand that we can come off some of our insanity, and then we rev it all back up for Monday. Yeah. So they got the win. And in this league, you had to count that one, whatever your Bears win total was, that had to be one of them. But boy, the first half made us confront some things. And I guess, Anthony, I'm trying to reconcile the bad with the good.
Yeah. I think the calibration, just figuring out what is the balance, because there's so much hope for Caleb to become a great QB and the potential for him to be an all-time great QB and a lot of the bluster to a certain extent that's associated with that, while at the same time him being a rookie and making his first start and having this roster that's been enhanced over the last couple of seasons, especially this last offseason, in a way where the expectations are for the Bears to win now. And so How are those expectations calibrated? How is this victory that the Bears have in their opening game of the season, where you see the defense come out with an enhanced sort of execution in the second half? You see special teams dominate the game, and you see an offense that you know there's requisite playmakers there where the offense should improve throughout the season, but the quarterback looks like a rookie, and a lot of folks are hoping the quarterback wasn't going to look like a rookie in this first game. So it was interesting on the post to sort of hear a responsible sort of approach that Bears fans were taking with me yesterday evening in their evaluation of what they saw yesterday. So I think after one game, that's certainly fair. I wonder how long that part is going to end up lasting here, because there's been certain seasons where it's been easy to say, all right, it's just about the quarterback. Does the guy look great or not? We'll figure it out in the years to come. This season ain't that. This season is the team is supposed to win, and you want to know if the quarterback is going to be great too. So it's an interesting dichotomy. As much as we've been through this QB development sort of observation for a number of years at this point, this season is different in that regard.
What did Tennessee do to make it so that the Bears' pass game wasn't effective?
Well, so Denard Wilson has been a defensive coordinator, and his style as a DB coach and as a defensive play caller has ebbed and flowed a bit over the years, but you could tell by the personnel they brought in, led by Legarius Sneed this last offseason, that they were going to be a team that wanted to get in your grill. They wanted to invade the personal space of the opposing wide receiver and throw off the timing of the passing attack. So I felt like from a coverage perspective, my evaluation is that Caleb, I think, did an effective job knowing what he was looking at, what he was seeing coverage-wise, but having DBs just right there in the hip pocket of receivers and having a pass rush that was getting home against his front five, those were the elements to me that seemed to throw Caleb Williams off kilter, because the coverage on a consistent basis, the coverage from Tennessee didn't strike me as that confusing, but you did have guys who were rerouting Bears wideouts. There were open opportunities, and that's a part of why you play man coverage. You know, at times you're going to let a DB get behind you. But when you get up into their grill and you reroute them when they're trying to get that release, you are counting on that pass rush, whether it's just your front four, you add a little bit of pressure like Wilson started to do to that Bears pass protection in half number two, start to heat things up with a little delayed pressure here and there. You're counting on folks to get home. And even if they don't sack the quarterback, you want him to be a little bit rattled. You pressure a quarterback either mentally or physically. I felt like the mental pressure on Caleb was there more so than the physical duress, and that's a part of what was forcing him to hold the football, because he knew what he was looking at, but he wasn't confident whether or not it was the right spot to try to fit the football into. And so even when Bears receivers were open at times, you saw some inaccuracies that crept into it. So it'll be, I would imagine, a really fruitful film for him, for Kerry Joseph, for Shane Waldron to go back and evaluate and say, yeah, my eyes were in some pretty good places here. Those are passes I can make. I just got to be more consistent with the execution.
No score first quarter, and Caleb Williams takes a 19-yard loss on that sack. What did you see, and what will he learn from that tape?
So the 19-yard sack was intriguing because I'm not completely sure what exactly they were looking to execute there, because you saw the entire offensive line moving in unison. So it had the look to me of them trying to set up some sort of a throwback screen where from a defensive eye perspective, when you see the entire O-line moving in unison rapidly in one direction, you're trying to get the eyes of the defensive front seven and at times the secondary too. But you want the defense, because the defenders are going to be trained to use the offensive line as their key, because more frequently than not, the O-line is taking you to where the ball's going to go. They want the big ugly guys to be out there blocking you at whatever the point of attack ends up being on that individual play. So if you're behind Caleb and you're looking out at the defense, so you're looking at the quarterback's vantage point, the entire O-line moves left immediately at the snap of the football. They're trying to draw the defense in that direction. Caleb begins to move in that direction. You get some initial penetration right there off the snap. And then, you know, whatever it was, sort of a, you know, a jet protection kind of look where between Coleman Shelton, Nate Davis, they're both moving to their left, and you get immediate penetration into the backfield from the Titans defensive tackle. Now, whose definitive responsibility is it? It's usually that guard. When you have a defender who's lined up more shaded over the center, as the Titans were in that formation, and he works through the shoulder of the center between that A gap, the center guard gap, it's normally, with the way that protection looks, the guard should take that defender over. Nate Davis did not do that. In reaction, Coleman Shelton ends up reacting like, oh, maybe this, I should have had more presence in this gap. So he reverse pivots, spins around, and he's trying to pick up that defender. So it was somewhere between Shelton and Davis. My impression is that the expectation would have been for Davis to pick that guy up. However that works out, you get quick penetration, and Caleb just starts kind of spinning around in the backfield. It seemed like the way it's looking, he should have been more lateral, but for some reason, Caleb is still in the pocket. He should have been working sideways more. And then he just kind of spun around over and over again, trying to evade some defenders, and takes this 19-yard sack. So the quick penetration, yes, when you're working in that jet sort of movement, that's going to happen sometimes. When you get a defensive tackle with a great get-off, it's going to be hard to overtake that guy sometimes, but that's the responsibility of the interior of the offensive line. They lost that battle. They didn't get that done. And then Caleb just starts to run backwards more and more, and it ends up being this sack. Fortunately, if it were Will Levis, that might have been a turnover. So I guess credit to Caleb in his first start, where he didn't make a bad play much, much worse.
How did you feel how the offensive line played overall?
Bad. They were bad. The Titans have a really good D-line. There's no doubt about that, especially on the inside. You've got guys who can bring both power and finesse, which can at times be sort of a rare combination, especially, you know, for some of the young football players they have, you know, like Tavondre Sweat at his size, to be able to apply force into the blocker, and then you get the guy starting to settle down. So you've shown him all that immense mass and power you have, and then you can start to work violent hands. Like, he did that to Tevin Jenkins a couple of times, you know, understandably, because of the concern that's been there for the Bears center position. Coleman Shelton takes good amount of heat. Nate Davis been taking all kinds of heat. But Ryan Bates rotates in. He's seemingly trying to play with like 1.5 arms right now. He wasn't using his left arm or left hand very effectively. He gets bowled over a few times. Nate Davis gets run by a few times. Coleman Shelton gets run by. Tevin Jenkins wasn't great in that game either. Braxton Jones, we know the power rush because of his sort of tall, lean, angular build. That's the scouting report on Braxton Jones, you know, pretty much every game, regardless of opponent. They're going to test him with power. He's gotten better at it throughout his career, but you know, sometimes you're going to get bull rushed on occasion. So he certainly gave up some heat into the pocket as well. So not a good game overall up front from the Bears offensive line. And, you know, did Caleb do enough to sort of get them out of jeopardy? No. Did Shane Waldron do enough to get them out of jeopardy? I don't believe that was the case either, but individual to individual across that front five, front six, when you talk about the rotation at right guard, it wasn't a good game for the guys up front.
Usually, when you see a lot of passes get batted at the line, it's because the offensive line is actually playing well. The reason being, when guys are blocked and not getting through, internal clock is, boy, I'm blocked. At least I'm going to put my hands up. And I understand that. And some coaches will say, hey, that usually means we're doing a good job in pass pro. I'm not sure that was the case. How troubled were you by some of the low angled throws that were coming out?
So it's not something that's been a consistent problem for Caleb Williams in his career arc up until now, but this is his very first NFL game, so things can become a problem at the professional level that haven't been problems before. But one of the areas he's usually been effective in is kind of working to find windows. You know, like Drew Brees is shorter than Caleb is, but Drew Brees was really effective within the pocket at finding throwing windows. And it wasn't consistently from actually even adjusting his arm angle, but the timing of the pass, the rhythm that it's coming out in, fitting it into windows, not only at the second and third level through coverage, but through where the offensive line, where the pass rush dictates that the ball has an opportunity to travel through. Drew Brees was always really effective in that regard, and he usually just kept that sort of traditional overhead arm action. Caleb has been, up to this point as an amateur athlete, effective at finding throwing windows, both in the pocket and, of course, on the move as well. So I'm not troubled by it yet, but you know, a lot more of the deflected balls at the line of scrimmage happened as the half wore on. Like the ball popped up into the air several times. Some of those were also in the secondary, though, too. So I think that even enhances the impression we have of how many times defenders were knocking the ball down. There were, I want to say, two or three at the line of scrimmage. There were also a couple in the secondary, like that Rome Odunze grab on that weird moment. You know, that's a pass that's deflected in the secondary. So I'm at this point, I'm more concerned about just Caleb's inaccuracy on the whole in situations where he can see it, he read it adequately, but he's throwing it behind Rome Odunze a little bit here or there, throwing it behind Keenan Allen a little bit, leading DeAndre Swift a little bit too much at times, just putting the ball to the player that it should be intended towards, but not putting it on the numbers, not putting it in a position where they're going to make the reception cleanly and keep their momentum working up the field. When Shane Waldron is trying to call him into some of these short and intermediate quick game sort of throws with drags concepts and crossing routes and mesh routes that should allow him versus man coverage to put the ball on his playmaker and allow them to be creative after the grab, that's where Caleb struggled yesterday. The batted down balls at the line of scrimmage, it's not something I've seen him deal with a lot before. So my radar isn't up on that too much, you know, by comparison.
I'll have to keep watching. I mean, I literally had a conversation with Drew Brees about this a few years ago because it always amazed me that even at 5'11", probably with Drew Brees, that he would get all of the 5'11 into a throw. And we went through and I like even demonstrated, it's like, I feel like I'm watching you throw from your tiptoes sometimes. And he says, I kind of am. And he would extend all the way up to release the ball, just the way that Ann is talking about. Caleb, because he can kind of matrix the ball a little bit and wrap it around a defender, I do worry because he's not, you know, 6'5 or what, and it happens to the guys that are 6'5 too.
Right.
how often can you do that and not pay a penalty for it? That there might be times where Caleb has to go over the top and make those throws.
And some of it is feel-based. You know, a lot of the guys who don't experience many batted passes, like, you know, Kyler Murray, he's been in the league for a handful of years now. We don't spend a lot of time talking about Kyler Murray getting passes batted down consistently, but one of the things that Arizona does with Kyler Murray, he takes a deeper drop. And yes, he is more likely to even begin scrambling. Like, a lot of quarterbacks are either vertical escape guys where they'll climb vertically in the into the pocket looking to extend the play and keep their eyes down the field. Some guys are more so lateral escape guys. Like, Justin Fields has always been more of a lateral escape guy, and just in trying to enhance his more traditional QB mechanics, he's tried to get to the point where he's willing to move forward and advance on the defense before looking to throw the football. With Caleb, you know, we'll see exactly what he is, whether he's more vertical or horizontal in his escape path. But Kyler Murray, he's willing to run backwards, he'll reverse pivot, he'll run all over the place, extending the play. And it does look like this sort of, you know, charismatic, oddball circus kind of thing. Sometimes he makes it work, sometimes he doesn't. It gets really frustrating for defenders. It gets really frustrating at times for his teammates as well, because it's inconsistent in its rhythm and its timing. But I think, you know, for Caleb, I'm more worried about the fact that the Bears faced man coverage. You got a receiver core who theoretically should be able to win. We saw a number of examples where they did win, and Caleb was missing those passes, either overthrowing multiple times or just being a little bit off on the back shoulder that leads to a pass deflection, or the back hip, as opposed to hitting that guy between the numbers, letting him catch it in stride and keeping him on the move.